Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Outsiders Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Woodall. Today, it is just me and Jim Cole. How are you doing today, Jim?
I am doing well. It's been a good day.
Yeah. No, we've got a lot of sickness going around with the team, so Jim and I decided to step on. We're going to talk about reaching the lost, and so it's, you could call it evangelism, you could call it outreach. There's a lot of words to it, but we're really going to hit on these three topics. It's probably going to go into more depth and more points, but it'll be embracing the digital outreach. We're going to try to hit on that a bit, building authentic relationships, and then serving in the community. And then I think you added some on there as well.
Your natural day-to-day path.
Yep, and that's a good one too. So let's just jump right in. We're going to talk about the digital outreach. Obviously, we are fortunate enough to be able to kind of do outreach with this podcast digitally. So we're doing podcast platforms. A lot of people use social media, say like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. They create engaging content. Sometimes I think that misses the ball a bit when it comes to digital. It's probably just because of attention span. Mostly, I think sitting down at a table and being able to talk, and obviously go to point number two, to build authentic relationships, is a little bit more effective than, say, digital outreach. What are your thoughts, Jimbo?
I think, obviously, you can't be friends with everybody.
Yeah.
And there's going to be those who are searching for whatever reason in their life and where they're at, and to be able to stumble across something on the web that could help take that next step or encourage you to take that next step and maybe even deepen your search for meaning to life and purpose.
Yeah. And you think it's just like the initial seed being planted kind of with digital content coming like past your view?
We don't know where people are on their timeline of things. So it just might be, it could also be that moment when you go, I need Jesus.
Yeah.
And for the Christian setting at home, maybe that stumbles across it, who's already attending church, who's already engaged in church, might come to a realization, I need to share my faith.
Yeah. Do you think with digital outreach, do you think it could become a little too noisy?
You know, I've thought of that in that, you know, you put something out there, who's going to find it and why?
Yeah.
And the thought that comes to my mind is God is in charge.
Yeah.
If God wants people to stumble across it, they will.
Yeah. No, you're completely right. I think there's been a lot of good content, like good Christian content that has kind of stumbled upon, say, my YouTube feed, and it's really encouraging. Like, it's really good. I think it's too easy to point the finger at social media, and we can see the pretty outweighing bad sides of social media, you know, if it comes to, oh, you know, like, there's a lot of child pornography that happens throughout our digital age. I think, I can't remember exactly who it was that quoted it, but they talk about our civilization becoming more like Rome, but it's already been like Rome on the internet. Anything goes. And so that's obviously a downside, but to speak into that pretty dark, murky area through Christian content would probably be good for everybody, because someone that's in that could see a message come by and it could change them. Like you said, and God's in control of all of these things. And so,
yeah, he outweighs Google's analytics.
Yes. Their algorithm.
Their algorithm. Yes.
No, but so there's some scripture that can go kind of go with this, and it's Matthew 28:19, and that would be, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you to do. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So God is with you on, like, while you're searching the web in some ways, you know, especially if you're seeking him and you're seeking to know him more. It's the beauty of having free digital content in some ways. And that's the beauty of having digital Bibles that can reach just the nations now. We don't necessarily have to send boxes of Bibles. Granted, I'm a big advocate of physical Bibles, but I also use digital all the time too. So it's just a tool in our belt.
Yeah. In reality, the physical Bible has, while the in pieces, it's been around a long time.
Yeah. But
put together for somebody to pick up and read.
Yeah.
Has been extremely recent in history.
Yeah.
So.
Since the printing press.
So. Yeah, right. So I love the fact now I can open up Matthew and just let it read to me.
Yeah.
While I'm puttering in my garden whatever.
Sure. No, that's a really good point. Let's hit the point number two. So building authentic relationships. So this is what, say, like you and I do sometimes when we meet for coffee. We're building a relationship with one another. And the language that we speak is we're seeking to find out who God is. We're trying to know him more. And so we're building something. We're building a foundation, which is Christ. But what do we do when we're trying to reach someone that doesn't know Christ? Do we do the same thing, or do we approach it a little bit differently? Do we approach it a little bit more sensitively and not as dogmatically?
You know, when we sit down, we have a cup of coffee and we're talking about stuff. We share where we're at. You say, this is where, you know, you don't word it that way. You don't say, hey, this is where I'm at. But you might say something to the effect, do you think that, da, 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 da. And so I think that is a legitimate outreach plan. In fact, probably more legitimate than a proclamation.
Yeah.
Or even trying to look at the four spiritual laws or sure. Romans Road.
Sure.
Those things require context. And the reality is, in today's culture, people don't have context.
Yeah.
So you need to, if you're going to build a relationship, then build a relationship.
Yeah.
But don't be shy.
Yeah.
You know, when you get an opportunity to share what God has done in your life, take that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're not pointing a finger. You're not saying, hey, you need to do this. You're not saying anything. You're saying, this is where I was.
Yeah.
And this is what God did in my life.
Yes. No, it's kind of foretelling the 1 John 4:19, the we love because he loved us first.
Yes.
And so we show that love to all people.
Yes.
Regardless who they are, where they come from, anything like that. And that opens the door. That means that I think I watched a video last night. It was kind of talking about some pretty heavy, like the pretty heavy topic of October 7th with Jerusalem and Hamas. And it was saying that if we say that the gospel's for this people but not these people, we're not proclaiming the right gospel. We're proclaiming a almost nationalistic style of gospel. And so it's like, no, we're not doing it. We go to all nations. That means we go to all people. And so that's what interests people of like, why you shouldn't like me. Like, why are you interested in what I have to, like my life? And that opens up a door of like, and it has to be genuine. It can't be rigid and like you're like what I'm doing right now, reading points off of a tablet or something
right. It, we can't sit there waiting for our opportunity to tell them that they need to repent from their sin.
Mm.
Yeah. Because that's judgmental.
Yeah.
I don't have that right.
No.
I could judge you because you know the rules.
I do.
Right? Know the rules. Because we're both on the same page with our walk.
Yes.
And so that would only be beneficial for each of us to be to hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
But for somebody outside the faith, I don't care how far outside the faith.
Yeah.
They don't know the rules. And if you can't hold them accountable to something they don't know.
Oh, who talked about that? Paul talked about that, right?
Yeah, so you love them right where they're at. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. You might say to yourself, man, their sin's the worst. I don't care.
Yeah.
You that person in front of you, God loves that person. That's one of his children.
What if they heard that? No, you're right. We're creating safe and trusting environments for people to open up, and then we can sneak in and have the opportunity to present the good news.
Yeah, in a gentle way.
Yes.
In our statistically, it's well over 90% who come to know Christ come through a personal relationship.
Yeah.
So you can go to a concert or not a concert, but a crusade
or
something like that, and I have to ask the question of those that received Christ at an event, was there already a relationship somewhere?
Yeah, maybe, right? Maybe not. You never.
They get credited for the 3% that come to know Christ. I'm wondering if that's an accurate number.
No, you're right, because I sadly think our modern church has kind of brought in these more hyped up concert feels,
yes,
to stir an emotion. Which I think, don't get me wrong, I think going to church, the pastor, the band, all these things going together should stir something up inside of you. But if it's just hype from like a concert, I have a hard time, and this is from probably personal experience. Like, I go to a show and I see my favorite band. I'm super excited, like emotional. It's all like everything's just pumping at high gear. But when I go home, I don't necessarily think about that band again, right? So I wonder if that could be a reaction. It's like, oh, I felt something today, and the rest of the week I haven't felt close to God at all. So maybe there might be something in that.
Yeah. The reason you're probably there is because you wanted to be there.
Yeah.
But it is possible that a friend invited you and you've never been to something like this. Yeah. So it's going to have a different impact on different people and where they're at.
Yeah.
You don't know. I do believe that the era of the proclamation is past because people don't have context.
No.
They haven't read the Bible. They don't know anything about the Bible.
No, you're right. Good. Could you explain? Can you kind of lean into that just a little bit more? Like the era of proclamation, what is that?
Well,
what do you mean?
In my generation, you had a lot of evangelists and big group speaking and tent revivals and all of this kind of stuff. And most of that has gone by the wayside. So to stand up and tell somebody something straight out of the Bible right now, they'll be shrugging their shoulders, going, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah,
I've heard the name Jesus because my friend uses it all the time, but he's always mad when he uses it.
That's true.
So, but I don't know anything about him. I was raised in a church, and I was an adult when I came to the realization that I wasn't being asked to believe that Jesus is real.
Yeah.
I was being asked to believe or to trust him and to surrender to him. That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing, yeah.
You know, and I think,
There's something, there's a difference between trusting and believing.
Yes.
100%. Like, I could believe that you exist and I can never meet you.
Right.
And then I come to find out, he was never a thing, but it's trusting that I know you, trusting that I know that you have the best for me. Trusting that you have a plan for me. So it's like it's total different thing.
Yeah, and believe that God is working in your friend already. So you don't have to prove anything. You just have to be a friend.
Yes.
And when they ask hard questions, like there's some things I don't even want to say because I've heard a lot of really hard questions.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well. I believe this, right? Well, I have stuff in my life too.
Yeah.
And just be honest. I mean, literally not too long ago, I was talking to a young lady and she says, well, I like girls. And I said, well, I got stuff in my life too. Because the reality is, I'm not above her. I am a child of God. It's just as she is. And I struggle with stuff just as they do, as anybody does.
Yeah.
So we have to, when we meet somebody where they're at, then we have to prepared for the question.
Yeah. Like Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. While we were still sinners. So, and sometimes this is my own soapbox here.
Go ahead.
But we say, if you ask, God will forgive.
Mm-hmm.
He died while I was still sinning. He didn't die after I stopped sinning.
You're right. Yeah.
He forgave
me.
He said on the cross, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
He already, the question is, do I get the benefits of that forgiveness? If I've never entered into the relationship, I've never been reconciled, then I don't get the benefits.
Yeah.
So God loves me.
Yeah.
He loves you.
Yeah.
Wants to spend eternity with us.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I don't know. It's something that we say all the time, but I don't think we'll ever fully comprehend, at least the earth side, right? We just don't have a measurement. We don't have a measurement, like a physical measurement of what that even means.
No.
So it's
we don't.
Yeah.
We have nothing to compare it to, really.
At all.
His love is greater than mom and dad's.
Yes. His love is greater than our spouses.
Yeah.
Like surpasses that, or it surpasses the love of a father and a mother towards their children. Like it surpasses that. And so it just doesn't make sense. And there's a pastor, his name's Josh White out in Portland.
Okay.
And he always ends his sermons that Jesus is crazy about you and he wants to spend eternity with you. And he says these things, and then he said once during a sermon that Jesus is the only person that will sit there and listen to you complain or come and ask for forgiveness for the same thing over and over and over again, and he won't leave. And then we don't have that measurement for that. Like, I imagine a lot of the, at least from all the brokenness that I've heard from people, that they've had people walk out on them. They've had people leave. So they don't understand that, no, Jesus will stay with you. If you do something wrong, he's not just going to walk away. He's going to stay with you.
He went to the cross for that wrong.
Yeah.
And he's not looking for a reason to turn you away.
Yeah.
In Job makes an incredible, not Job, I'm sorry, Jonah.
Oh, you're good.
Makes incredible statement at the end of the book of Jonah. You know, he's visiting Nineveh, whom he absolutely despises, those people. And he says, because God was going to repent and not destroy them, and Jonah wanted God to destroy them. And he said, didn't I tell you this is why I didn't want to come? because you're a gracious God, because you are quick to forgive, you are right? Because literally God wants the reconciliation. He's fighting for the reconciliation. He's not looking for, as in now in Job, he says, do you think God follows us around all day long looking for us to do something wrong? I mean, if you were good all day, every day, how does that benefit God? It doesn't.
No, not at all.
When the vice versa, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Right?
No, yeah.
So, but.
You go ahead. Sorry.
Jonah, you know, that line in Jonah, that's a pretty profound line in that Jonah didn't want to go because he recognized that God was a God of
and,
mercy.
I was saying he was going to forgive Jonah's enemies.
Yes.
Which is because the backstory of the Ninevites, they were one of the most brutal groups.
Yes.
So I can understand why Jonah was like, I don't want you to forgive them, God. I want you to judge them and punish them and put them in the grave for what they did to my people. And God's like, no.
You know, this story is a great story for this topic.
Yes, it is.
Because he also said, I don't want anything to not happen that I said would, which is important because he's a prophet. So when he prophesies and it does not happen, that's a bad mark on his record.
Yeah.
It might even ruin his career.
Yeah.
So that same goes with sitting down with somebody who's maybe societally not accepted, right? Or maybe they're not accepted by your church friends.
Well, that's a little different though, because we're broken up into multiple societies now. It's not just between say race or gender or anything like that. It's broken up into these subgroups now.
Yes.
So that's a little bit more murky.
The one I'm concerned about is my Christian friends seeing me hang out with these other people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
I should say, hey, come walk with me.
Yeah. Well, was it like Jesus, come follow me?
Right.
Kind of thing?
Yeah.
I think the Chosen does a very good, just like, visual description of like Jesus going to people that are just no one wants, say, follow me, like Matthew the tax collector Mary, anything like that. There's like, come follow me, like he's casual about it. He's like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And like I think those little moments really they spoke to me. So I'm like, oh, We're like you said, we're looking for a proclamation of Jesus saying, come, follow me. You are my chosen one. And then it's like, nah, come follow me. Let's go.
Yeah.
Walk with me. Let's talk about these things. Like,
why is this man blind? Is it because of his sins or somebody else's sin? Jesus is like, nope, neither.
Neither.
He's here because it's a setup.
Yeah.
Literally. That's what he's saying. It's a setup so that I could heal him.
Yeah.
So that you could see it. Because a man who's been born blind has never been able to see before. But today, that's going to change.
Yeah. It's just, just casual. It's a casual talk. But I do think this is going to be a whole nother topic of an episode. But I think we do drum up moments that might have just been casual talk and hearsay and normal, because Jesus, he's doing things that are abnormal to us, but they're normal in eternity, kind of thing. And so we're just like, wow, but it should just be normal.
Yeah.
These kind of things should just be like regular. Like I don't know what has happened and it's probably the cultural tension and divide that we are currently in. Not that we haven't been in these kind of moments forever. You can probably find them in history books. But I just wonder if Christians just said, just lived normally, and rather than trying to seek some sort of limelight or some sort of recognition or acceptance from our, like, look at me, Christian peers, I'm doing it. I'm doing the stuff. I'm like, why don't you just do it?
And just do it.
Was it Thessalonians to strive to live a quiet life, to work with your hands and do these things? And then, like, it all just comes together and you give all praise to God while you're doing your normal things. But then you look back at your life when you're coming to the end of it and you see how God had used you to speak to people that the church might not have spoke to or might not have wanted to be around. Like, that's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful testimony of God's work in your life. And I think with younger generations, we need to remind them that live your life, do your duties, do your work, but do it all for the glory of God. And try not to seek fame and fortune.
Yeah, that really leads into the it skips yes. over point three and goes into point
it
four.
It does, yeah.
Because it's, you know, I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. You know, I don't really know the Bible all that well. The reality is, you know something.
Yeah.
If you're following Christ, you know something. And God, if you're following Christ, something happened inside of you. All right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And if nothing happened inside of you, then maybe you need to rethink things.
Yes.
But every day when you go to work,
yeah,
or you're standing in the grocery line,
yeah,
or you're at a restaurant. You have opportunities, not
every time.
Like, yeah, you know, just saying, "Hey, to the wait person, hey, can I pray for you?"
Mm.
You know, and at work, man, and I hear people say, "Well, I can't talk about religion at work." Well, if you're obnoxious and rude, then stop it, okay?
Yeah.
But the truth is, I was 28 when I came to know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited, I didn't know you weren't supposed to talk about him. So when I went to work, I talked about him.
Yep.
And I've had several jobs, non-Christian positions, and I've always talked about Jesus, and I've never, not one time, been shut down.
Yeah.
Because it's your approach to it that it gets shut down,
mm-hmm,
right? But you're, agreed. So just love on people. You know, I worked as a manager in a restaurant, and I brought Bibles.
Yeah.
Nobody would take one. I set them on the corner of my desk.
Yeah.
People stole them.
Steal them. That's what right? they're there for.
Like, oh, okay. I'll just make sure I always have a Bible in the corner of my desk. They were New Testaments. It wasn't.
Oh, sure.
But still.
It wasn't the premium $215 Bible. Okay.
No, but as soon as I realized that they were getting being stolen, I was like,
replenish it.
Yeah, we're good.
No, that's really...
So people want to know, and they really want to talk to people. People struggle with purpose. People struggle with identity.
Mm-hmm.
And man, there's nothing... Yeah. To recognize your identity in Christ, there's nothing greater.
Oh, 100%. I think he'll be okay with me talking about his story. But I have a good friend now who's my coworker, and he's told me about his life now. 16, he's on his own. He was rejected by his dad and all these kind of things, and drinking and smoking and all the things. And it got to a point where he was so isolated that this was around the time that he got the job where I work, and he was coming out of that a bit, and I'd hear him speak about spirituality and all these things, and all of a sudden I just had this opportunity that the Spirit opened up. And from that point on, it's been about 2 years now, I believe that he has given his heart to Jesus, and I think it's over the conversations that we've had with one another, and that the things that he thought might have been truth weren't truth, and I was able to speak to him about these things, and it's brought a beautiful friendship. Like, I consider him one of my good friends now, and
right,
we can talk about these things, and Yeah, we fall. Like, we both stumble and fall, but we somehow confess these things to one another, and we tell each other when we're struggling. And so it's just becoming what I believe the body of Christ should be with one another. Right. And it's like I said, it's fresh, it's new. I just for a long time, I just felt like, God, I'm not doing anything. And I think it's because I thought, God, I'm not doing anything because I'm not on a stage. I'm not doing the professional thing. But this is just as good.
Better.
If not better, yeah.
Yeah, it's better. Could you imagine what would happen if the church as a whole, if just 80% of the church body just started going to work with the intentions of that's my missionary field, and I'm going to engage not with proclamation, but just in conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen situations where the Christian, if you will, brings their Bible and sits at the lunch table by themselves reading their Bible. I'm like, hey, knock it off. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not helping anybody over there. All right.
Yeah.
You know, good, you read your Bible. Great. Okay. Go talk to somebody.
Sure. Or it's the like fear the Lord sign holder.
Oh yeah.
Like
prepare.
I'm not trying to throw like shade or anything at people like that. Like that's probably a denominational or like doctrinal belief that's not accurate. You know, it's not actually.
There's accuracy to it in that we should
proclaim.
We should be preparing ourselves,
yeah,
you know, but it's not, it's more of a journey. I don't know how to say it. It's not wrong in itself, but it's not going to be.
It's not executed.
Well. Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, it's not going to connect with people,
yeah.
Especially now,
yes.
In our culture, it's not going to connect.
Aren't we all like fatigued from the constant proclamation from news outlets? Or storefronts, like isn't that just you? Just go and you walk by these places, and these political statements or social statements—they almost bring, at least when I walk by them, they almost bring some like ache and cringe into my body.
It's an angst.
Yeah, you're just kind of like, ugh, come on, like can we just throw this out? Like so, it's like I imagine anything similar to these. Things that are thrown at us. So I think the news cycle changes every day now instead of every week or a month before or something like that. So if it's just like, gosh, dang, I can't handle this overstimulation anymore. Like it just doesn't work.
You know, but that's a good point because we need to allow, you know, I want to say be a small, still voice, but that, I think that's God.
Yes.
But if we allow him to really use us and work through us, we can be that small, still voice in the midst of the storm.
Yeah.
And that's really what God asks us to do.
Yeah. That's really good. I think that comes in with like point three, which would be serving the community, which that'd be like working your job. That'd be,
well,
I mean, also it'd be, yeah, you had it.
Well, it's a little different because working my job, that's my normal everyday stuff. That's what I do to make a living for my family. And, you know, no matter what, if, you know, I want to treat my neighbor with love and respect. They're in my path. They're in, you know, and I think if we could look for ways to do things for our neighbor, you know, you just happen to be out there a little bit earlier than they were. So you shovel their walk too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so that's as you're going through your day.
Yeah.
But here, working and serving in the community, yeah, I think that's a great way because then you get there are organizations that will put you in front of people or give you an opportunity to be in front of people mm-hmm. who do not know Christ, who are looking for answers and searching for answers that you would never be in front of. But these organizations have open doors
mm-hmm.
that an individual will never have, that a church will never have.
Yeah.
And so you get this opportunity to go in and just volunteer. Mm-hmm. And sooner or later, somebody's going to go, you don't get paid for this?
Yeah. That's like, yeah. That's a really good. That's really good. I'm trying to like, yeah, I think, well, those organizations and those opportunities can help you as an individual be able to speak to people that others might not be able to speak to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like those, we forget about those. We think that, well, it has to be this certain kind of person that can speak into the, like to anybody.
Right.
But God saved you as an individual that obviously we operate in the full community of the church, but we're still, God gave you a unique voice to speak to unique people that only yes. you are going to be able to speak to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I talk a little bit about Youth for Christ?
Hit it hard.
Well, you know, they have a program where they literally go into the public schools and they reach kids in the schools that the average organization is not going to be able to do. And to do that is part of that's playing games. So maybe mm-hmm. you don't want to lead the big group thing,
yeah.
but you could organize the game.
Yeah.
Or you could do a small group question and answer that takes just a few minutes.
Yeah.
And plus you will meet a kid that will connect to you.
Of course.
It just always happens.
Oh, yeah. No, like God's given each of us our own identity.
Yes.
We don't become a molded robot.
Yes.
That we follow, like, that we're just programmed. Like, God saves us as us. Like, it's not anything more. Like, he's taking the vessel that, the clay that he made and gives us our unique voice. And for the reason of reaching others.
Yes. We don't have to be clever.
No.
We don't have to be even all that bold. We just have to be courageous enough to go.
Yeah. And I think we, for like, it's the identity crisis that we all struggle with. We see someone that we want to aspire to be like, and so we do all the things. We look, and now we have access to all their routines and their part of their personal life in some ways, and at least the fabricated personal life in a way. And we're trying to meet, like, if you do these five things, you'll be as successful as I am at reaching the lost. I'm like, and then you try them and you just fall flat on your face because it's not for you.
Yeah. You know, I volunteer at juvenile detention for Youth for Christ.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't want to go. And I have rolled out of my car thinking to myself, God, you're going to have to show up. Because I got nothing.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is I never have nothing. I've matured a little bit to realize I've got nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the reality is that's when I got to see God move, is when I got out of the way thinking I had to achieve something.
Yeah.
I had to you know, get this lesson down just right. And I had to, no.
Yeah.
Just come, show up, love on the kids, allow God to speak through you. And that's all. Your job mm-hmm. is to show up and do your best. That is it.
Yes.
Whether a kid comes to know Christ or is drawn to Christ, the Bible tells me that's like the Holy Spirit's job.
Yeah.
It's not my job.
Yeah.
Right? And then even then that person could reject. So it doesn't matter. It's not, yeah. I don't get the credit when it goes well, and I don't get the blame when it goes wrong.
No.
My job is to show up.
You show up. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. We talk, my boys go to Taekwondo, and today we were talking on the way there, because sometimes, like, oh, I don't want to do this. Like, well, we go and we do our best, like, no matter what. And if your best today is a little less than last time, it's all right, because you gave your best. And oddly, so my youngest, not my youngest, he's not my youngest anymore. I have three now, but my middle kid, he struggles with his emotions. And so he had a moment where you could see that he was just holding back the tears because he was either just anxious or just scared. And I look over and my oldest is like, Dad, I'll go out there with him. And so he puts all of his gear on, and he goes out, and he stands by his little brother, and then they do all the training with each other, and the instructor didn't say anything about it or anything like that. Just let it happen. I was just like, what a beautiful moment of like, what if we could do that as well as adults? Like, what if we saw the struggle, and instead of saying, oh, this is inconvenient, instead of thinking in that mindset, like, here's an opportunity to show love to someone that needs it right now. What if we could do that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just, this all is just coming together to me now. Like, I'm really glad we're talking about it, because it's just having, and I think that's why, like, let the children come to me and like have that added, like, children are always like, they look up at their parents and they just are in awe of their parents a lot of the times. If it's not every situation, but it's like, that's my dad. And it's like, my dad, Jesus, came down to, what was it? For the Son of Man came, was it? For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
Right.
And like, that's why, like, I think we all like glamorize the washing of feet story in the Gospels. But that was like, that was the lowest of low servant who's washing the feet off of the more astute people. And I'm like, that's where Jesus was.
Yeah.
And I want to be served and like everything handed to me, like, instead of just jumping in and helping.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. It's just
on the practical sense, it's easier. I've been in a foot washing thing before.
The Nazarenes.
That's easier to do than it is at work when you see a coworker in trouble or struggling, and sitting down beside him and saying, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, and if they can't share, then can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Right? You know, and if they're comfortable sharing what it is, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If they're not comfortable sharing, it doesn't matter. Can I pray for it? And then maybe even in a real quiet way, don't make a fuss, because then you're going to bring attention.
Yeah.
You know, it might mean you simply just say, God, just wrap your arms around them.
Yeah.
And then walk away.
Yeah. And it's just these practical things. I think it's just we over glamorize. We overdo it. We want all the bells and whistles, and we want the perfect time and the perfect spot. But God is not going to give us the perfect time and perfect spot. It's just going to be whenever it happens. And you have to be watchful for those moments. Like, watchful for, like you said, when you see, like, we're all, not everybody's dense. I think we're all able to see, like, someone, if someone's grieving, usually there's a bodily, like, there's something bodily going on that you can just tell, right? Or there's a sense of just, there's something off. What's going on? Like, and then just when you ask the questions, you know,
there's a proverb, right?
Yes.
Basically it says that a farmer that waits for the perfect day will never plant.
Mm.
And when you said what you just said, that proverb popped into my head. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. If you're going to work waiting for the perfect opportunity to share Jesus, you'll never plant.
You'll never plant. No, you'd be too hesitant. Be waiting for the moment.
Right. So there is two sides of it. This one side where I want, you know, this to make it glamorous, and this other side where I'm just afraid. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for that perfect moment.
Yeah.
You know, but enter into the conversation and the door will be open.
Yeah. No, I think... Well, my friend usually, if he's asking for, like, he'll tell me throughout the day, he'll be like, I was talking to this person and they helped me out with something, and all I said was, God bless you. And I was just like, I used to cringe at that kind of thing. But then I was like, no, I do want God to bless this person. So why don't I say it? Maybe I need to get past, like, my icky, like, evangelical, like, cringiness, you know what I'm saying? Like, get, like, for Christians, at least, we're talking, like, for Christians here, we look at the stereotypical things that we might have done in the past that kind of have some sort of baggage now, but now we just, don't we want people to be blessed? Like, don't we like we actually want to pray for people? Maybe just do it.
Yeah.
Maybe just stop saying you're going to do it. Just do it.
Yeah, we don't need to be cheesy.
No.
Okay, and I think that's another another fear probably is I'm going to
like
call
the, like cheesy. Was it the tracks and like the $100 track? I'm like, dang it, I thought I had $100.
Yeah, and tracks have their place, but because you never know.
Yes.
So, but I think that it work. People know you. So if you like you had mentioned earlier, you do everything unto the Lord. Right. Yeah, that means you're a good employee,
mm-hmm.
so that people will see what a Christian looks like when they're being a real Christian.
Yes,
and not a slacker.
Oh yeah. You know? Like Christians should be the hardest working people.
They should
on the job.
In fact, they should go above and beyond.
Yeah.
Meaning, oh, yeah, I clocked out already, but I'll do this.
Yeah.
But don't announce it.
Yes.
Just, hey, okay. Look at me. I clocked out. I'm doing it off the clock. No. Just do it.
Yeah. I have to tell myself that every day I go to work, I have to be, my computer keeps typing out, but I have to tell myself like, okay, I'm not working for myself. I'm working for God and for others. And so, and others include, I'm working to provide for my family. I'm working to provide stability to my boss. I'm working to help my coworkers. I'm working to serve my customers as well, and to ultimately keep this ecosystem steady. And sometimes that means I have to do things I don't want to do, or I have to do the little work or the crap work. I don't want to, but there's going to be days that I'm going to probably grumble about it or avoid doing it, but God give me grace to do it anyways and to do it as best as I can and to do it for his glory and to do it with, you know what, not to be corny, but to do it with joy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it might be junk work, but where else could I be? That could be worse.
Yeah.
Right. And so doing things with joy and love for others and to serve others.
Yeah. I think servant is an attitude.
Yep.
And you have to go with that. You can't just put that hat on, flip from the I'm in charge to I'm going to be a servant. I don't care if you're the manager. If you are the guy in charge, you serve your staff and employees so that they can be the best that they can be.
Yeah.
And, wear Jesus on your sleeve.
Yeah. Let his light shine. I think a good story of just the overwhelming presence of God in someone's life. My grandpa came to know God, man, it was later on in his life, so it was probably in his late 20s, early 30s, and God miraculously changed him. He worked at a grocery store down in Missouri, and a lady that came in all the time saw him, and she's like, "What is different about you?" And all he said, this is a day after, he's like, all he said, he's like, "I don't know what happened, but God came down and touched me, and that's it." And
right.
And so it was just that little small seed just kind of explode. Like just like, he's just like, "I don't know, but here it is." And that's it. And he worked hard. He worked like for the glory of God. Like my grandpa's one of my role models of like how to work hard and to do it well and to serve others and to know people and to love strangers. Like my grandparents are really good at doing that, and I look up to them for that. And I think we can look back at these just small moments of how we can love on social media. Like it could be a whole episode of how not to be a troll or something like that, and being authentic with one another. Like just be who you are,
right?
And serving our community, like find every opportunity to serve and to do it well, and don't do it for glory. Do it to glorify God. Yeah. And then, everyday life kind of things as well.
Serving at events in the community are good, especially, maybe like on the flood relief kind of things and that kind of stuff. Be there for people, pray with people and that kind of stuff. But when you serve in the community, if you can enter even non-Christian organizations, but you got to be there consistently, because then you can build the relationships with those people.
Yeah.
With the people that you're meeting in the community that you wouldn't otherwise meet.
Yeah.
So you have to be there. It's not a hit or miss.
No.
We did an event at Youth for Christ once, and the church was there, and 700 people showed up. And,
yeah.
And a guy puts his arm around me and says, "We put you on the map." I didn't say a word. I'm like, "You're not going to be here tomorrow."
No, no, 100%. 100% true.
Right?
Who put me on the map here?
Yeah. I just like, you're not going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
You all be gone.
Every time.
And we like to do the, throw some money at something, and not to say God has called people to give and
give.
Support stuff. And that's what God has called them to.
Yeah.
So I don't want to,
don't want to diminish that.
No, I don't. But there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody come to know Christ and watching them grow.
Oh, yeah. It's exciting. Sometimes it's painful when you see, back steps.
Yep.
But it's just like, no, God, you gave me opportunity to be able to speak into this person, and I've been able to grow in a relationship with them, and they can trust me to say the truth in a loving way. I'm not going to whack my Bible over their head or condemn them to hell. I'm like, no, there's grace for you. There's you dig your own hole, but Jesus crawls down that hole and picks you and pulls you back up, dusts you off, and you keep walking until you start digging the next one. And so it's just, he doesn't wag his finger at you. He picks you up and he keeps walking with you. So that's really good. Do you have anything else?
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I don't know if we have enough time today, to be honest with you.
Maybe do a part two.
That might be better, because here we've talked a lot about where people are. So they're online. They're just people we know. We're building authentic relationships with and people in the service community.
Yeah.
But that doesn't touch where they're at as far as their state of mind.
Yeah.
When we need to meet somebody where they're at, that means mentally, and where are they at mentally? Where are they at emotionally?
Yeah.
What's their worldview? We need to meet them right where their worldview is at.
Yes.
What's their perspective, which comes out of their worldview? What's their perspective on church in general, or the Bible, and all of that kind of stuff? And this might seem like too obvious, Captain Obvious, right? But male or female, because they're going to bring stuff with them based on who they are. And as you talked about earlier, all the different subgroups of our culture, what is their subgroup?
Yeah.
And we need to meet them there. We don't stand in our corner and say, hey, you need to come over here to us.
Yes.
It's so easy to look at a kid that's incarcerated
and
say, hey, just do what you're supposed to do and it's going to work out for you. Well, is that true? Yes, that is true. Okay. But that young man or young woman has bought into some lies that you and I can't even comprehend.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't know what is to do. Because if they did what they think is right, they're going to prison.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Right? So we can't tell them, just do what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And so we need to meet people right where they're at.
I think we have a part two.
Okay.
On this conversation. I think that would be a good... I think that could be its own by itself. It's a ton. And I think it's something that we should dig into and not try to rush through it. I think that's a.
I would agree.
I think it's something to chew on and like get people to think of, because those are things I wouldn't think of like right off the top of my head. Like I notice more and more as I get older, is that I see the question coming up in my mind. I'm like, well, how did you get here? Like, how did you get to the place where you are? Like, tell me about that. Let me know. Like, I want to know. And I think I had talked to one of my tattoo artists, and we were talking about, say, like, LGBT. And I don't know how that came up, but, like, we talked about it. And I was just like, do you ever wonder how people get to this point? Like, I'm a Christian. You probably already know what I think about it, but I'm genuinely curious. How did it come to this? Like, how did we get here? I really want to know. And he didn't, because he's not like in that subgroup. But it started a conversation, and it started a genuine conversation of like, well, dude, how do you get to this point?
Yeah.
Like someone that would say like, I'm affirming, I'm doing all these things and like saying all the right taglines. And it's like, well, but how did they get here? Like, how did they come to this? And so I was like, it's to open the door to like actually like really digest and like for me to learn too. So like, right. Don't come in like thinking you have all the answers, because you don't.
You don't. You don't know where they came from. No. You don't know what they're carrying. You don't know anything.
No.
So don't pretend you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. So you talk about, like we go back to Jonah, mm-hmm. who was going to a group of people that he despised.
Yes.
And of course, we're not going to worry about where the Ninevites came from or anything like that, although their background's kind of crazy too. What's now for him? He's an Israelite,
yeah.
So he's doing something that's contrary to what his family would want him to do,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So, how do I want to say this? What if God said to you, or to I'm not saying you personally, but
yeah.
I want you to go to the LGBT community and share my love with them. Are we going to think in our hearts, I think they need to know their sin, and they need to get right with God, and they need, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Or are you going to do what God asked them to do? Mm. Or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Say, I want you to go love on them. Tell them about how much I love them.
Yeah.
Because that's really what Jesus is calling us to do.
Yeah.
Every subgroup. Right?
Goodness gracious. I felt the weight of that. That was good. No, I... Ooh. Part two. We'll come out soon. This will come out soon, too. But no, this has been Outsiders Podcast. We are having a part two with Jim and I talking about reaching the lost. We're going to... What subjects were they? We're going to hit the... I have to get my notes open.
Kind of like finding people where they're at.
Yeah, finding people where they're at. Yeah. And sitting where... people are at, and
yeah,
I think that will be a very, very fun and insightful episode. I'm excited about that. But yeah, this has been Outsiders Podcast. Keep an eye out for weekly content now, and then keep an eye out for our long form conversations. Keep an eye out for these and interviews. Tune into Elect Exiles, which is Brett and Michael Cam's podcast. They talk about, what is it, everyday life, living everyday life as an elect exile. You can kind of go into that a little bit. I'm probably butchering what their tagline's all about. I've listened to it too, so I just screw that one up. But no, this has been Outsiders Podcast. Thank you. See you next time.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.